Thank you, Pastor. Good to see you all tonight. And I love your pastor, and I love your church. I need to come to Calvary more often. I do. I have been, Brother Mark, in 53 different churches since I left Lewis Fork 6 years ago. Some of them are dead as a doornail. Calvary's as live as any I've been in. None livelier than this. So this is good for me. And I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. I appreciate Robbie and Kippy so very much. And I've known these guys a long time. I've known Kippy since he's a little boy. And Melissa, fine lady. Robbie, I've known him for 15 or so years. And Tammy. And we love and appreciate them very, very much. And I think you've done a good job in choosing these men to be deacons. And as Brother Mark said, the deacons through the years, no doubt here at Calvary, has been a great part in making the church what it is today. And God bless you. That's a great responsibility, a good, good work being a deacon. And I was a deacon before I became a preacher. I was a deacon for about a year and a half, running from the call to preach. Thought I'd get by with just being a deacon, but I couldn't get by, and I had to answer that call to preach the Word of God. And I'm glad I did. It's been a good journey. I have enjoyed the trip. Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I'm glad I'm on my way by the grace of God. He's been good. He's been good all the way. And I praise Him tonight for every step of the way that He's blessed me. And it's so good to be at Calvary again. And I love your former pastor, a good friend of mine, Brother Feldman. Declining health now, so we need to pray for him. And these godly men, like Brother Mark and Brother Feldman and others, Brother Kenny, and thank God for the blazing the trail for us. God bless you, brother. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 2. And I'm going to read a few verses there, and then I'm going to read some more verses elsewhere. And that's back in the book of Ezekiel. So I'm trying not to take a whole lot of time and run over on Brother Kenny's time. So he's a greater preacher than me. He needs more time than I have. Let's look at the scriptures now. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Stand if you will. Likewise must the deacon be grave, not double-minded, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mysteries of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proven. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that thou oughtest to be, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up unto glory. There we find where the deacon's qualification. In chapter 6 of the book of Acts, we find where they were needed. They were needed in that particular time. Because the Bible said that, he said, choose you out 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost with wisdom. And the reason they chose them was to be helpers to the apostles. See, the apostles didn't have time to go out and serve tables, the Bible said. And there were so many people now that they didn't have time to do all this. So he said, choose you out 7 men. And that's what you've done as a church. You've chosen out these men. Now, you didn't need 7. You only needed 2 at this particular time. Some churches, large churches, have 100 deacons. But whatever the need is, they needed 7 in that particular time. And they chose those men. They must be full of the Holy Ghost, men of wisdom, filled with the Spirit, men of honest report, and that's what you've done. Okay? We're going to turn back to the book of Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, and see why we need godly preachers and godly deacons. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy in her prophets in the midst thereof, like roaring lions raving the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasures and precious things, and they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profane among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, raving the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, have exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Verse number 30, standing in the gap, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Standing in the gap. Lord, thank you for your word, your holy word, your inspired word, your inerrant word that we've read tonight. Lord, without your help this evening, we can do nothing. All of our words will be like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, and we need your anointing. Without that anointing tonight, our efforts will all be in vain. But I pray just now that you'll touch my lips of clay and anoint this mind, this body, to be an instrument in your hand to bring the word of God tonight. I pray you'd bless Brother Kenny as he brings the message. I pray you'd bless these men of God that's been chosen by the church to be deacons, and bless their families, and bless this church and this dear pastor. God, give them great, great soul savings station here, and may many people be won to Jesus. And we'll praise and honor what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, the deacons are chosen to be a help to the pastor. Somebody said the deacons ought to be to the pastor as the Secret Service men are to the president. Think about it. They're to guard. They're to guard and protect, take care of the president. The deacons ought to be the same for the preacher. I heard a pastor who was from Wilkes County a number of years ago who moved to South Carolina. He's passed on now to be with the Lord. But he said there in South Carolina, a large church he was pastoring, he said when a problem would rise in the church, he said he wouldn't hear about it a lot of times until it was all over, all settled. He said the deacons would take care of it. They'd hear about what was going on, and there'd be a riffle in the church, and there'd be some confusion there, and they'd nip it in the bud.
That's good.
They'd get it right there before it ever got festered and gone any further. And you know that's what you're to do, deacons, to protect your pastor. You're the men of God to surround him and support him. And we notice in the scripture now where we were talking about in the book of Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. And it said, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. He said, there's a conspiracy of her prophets. In the midst thereof, like a roaring lion raving the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasures and precious things and made her many widows in the midst thereof. Now the land was corrupt in that day. It was a bloody city. It said back there in verses 1 and 2, it says that, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. The bloody city of Jerusalem, the city that where Jesus was crucified. The city there where Ezekiel is talking about the bloody city. Isaiah said the same thing when he said, How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness, and lodged in it. But now murderers, a righteous city. Now it's become a city of murderers, a city of corruption. He said it's a bloody city. So we're living in a time right now of bloody, bloody country, aren't we? There's marching, rioting, rebelling against authority. We're living in a dangerous time. And we as a people of God need to take our stand and stand for God and let it be known where we stand. So you notice there when it was so corrupt and so evil, the Lord said he was looking for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. All right. In verse 23, he said, The word of the Lord came to me, saying, God spoke to Ezekiel, and he said, There's a conspiracy in the land. And he said, Her priests have violated my law. What is a priest? He is a go-between. He is a leader of a congregation. He is a preacher, a priest. And he said, The priests have violated my law, have profaned my holy things, and they have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed any difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. That's what he said about the priest, about the preacher of that day. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. They showed no difference between the unclean and the clean. So some places today and some preachers today are saying it's all right to do anything you want to do. If it feels good, do it. But I want you to know that's not the way it is. There's a way that God said seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is the ways of death. So there's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's a black and a white here. There's a way that's right and a way that is wrong. And the priests, the preachers of that day were corrupt and they were not telling it like it was. And we today need to tell it like it is. He said they were showing no difference between the unclean and the clean. They had hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. The Lord saying this, I am profaned among them. They put no difference between the clean and the unclean, and they hid their eyes from my Sabbath. I remember when I came to Wilkes County, it was different on the Sabbath day. It was different on the Lord's day. As a matter of fact, I don't refer to it much as a Sabbath day because Saturday is the old Jewish Sabbath. Right. Lady called me one day, Mark, chewed me out big time. She said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. I said, that's right. That's what the Bible said. Said, and you're leading people to worship on Sunday or when the Saturday is the Sabbath. I said, well, yes, ma'am, you're right. Saturday is the old Jewish Sabbath. But Sunday's the Lord's Day. I said, our Savior arose from the dead on the Lord's Day. And ever since then, we've been worshiping Him on Sunday, the Lord's Day. So, that's our day, I believe, that we're to keep, is Sunday. No matter what they might say. And then the priests were corrupt. And then the princes, in the midst thereof, are like wolves. What is a prince? He is a leader of a country. He's a political leader. He is one that's in charge. The princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, raving the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. So there's a lot of corruption in our government today. You say, now, preacher, I don't like that. No, I know the devil don't like it either, but there's a lot of corruption. I personally think we've got a man leading in our country today that God so ordained. Now, you may not disagree with that, but I think that's the way it is. And I think God raises up whom He will, and I think this is what happened. So, I may never get to come back, Brother Mark. The princes are in the midst thereof are like wolves raving the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Climb the political ladder as high as you can. Become as popular as you can. And the people that put you up there, forget about them when you get in there. That's not the way it should be. So the priests were corrupt. The princes were corrupt. Verse 28, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The prophets went on saying, the Lord said, when the Lord had not said anything. They were prophesying, but it wasn't God. It was in their own flesh, in their own ideas, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. Somebody asked me several years ago, some of you young people don't even know what I'm talking about. There was a lady by the name of Jane Dixon. Some of us older fellows, Brother Kenny, you're not as old as I am, are you? Remembers that. Somebody asked me, you believe Jane Dixon was a prophet of the Lord? And I said, no. Why not? She's predicted so many things that come to pass. I said, yes, but a prophet of the Lord don't miss any of them. Prophet of the Lord hits it every time. And I don't believe she was a prophet of the Lord. But anyway, the priests, the princes, the prophets were all corrupt. And then in verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression, have exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. The people of the land. He did not find a priest. He did not find a prince. He did not find a prophet. He did not find a person to stand in a gap for him. Not a person. They had exercised robbery, vexed the poor and needy, and yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. The people of the land were all corrupt. And the Lord said, I sought for a man. I looked diligently. I looked everywhere for a man that would stand in a gap and make up the hedge before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What a sad, sad story. He said, therefore have I poured out mine indignation, my riotous anger upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Sad, isn't it? In Ezekiel's day, there wasn't anybody to stand in the gap for him. That's not true now. We've got men standing in the gap for God. And we need to cherish these men. I mean, pray for them daily. It's not an easy road. There's difficulties along the way. There's oppositions that arises. And there's trouble that comes many times. And people will put you down. But I'm glad, if God be for us, who can be against us? So you guys coming in here as deacons, There's going to be people complaining to you. Some people are going to put you down, put the church down. But the best thing to do is just stand for God. And just stand for your church and support your pastor. Some years ago, there was a lady in another town that I knew quite well. I would go by and see her in the store where she worked, and how's your church doing? Oh, man, it's bad, it's bad, it's really bad. And I forgot, next time I went by, I asked, how's your church doing? Same old story, same old thing. Well, about the third time, I thought, now, I don't need to go that way. I need to go another direction. I don't want to hear that stuff. And I don't want to hear that about Calvary from any of you. I don't. And I'm not going to listen to it. I mean, when you start it, I'll just say, I don't have time for that. But you're not going to start it because you're people that love the Lord. You're people that love your pastor. You're people that support and love your deacons. What a choir. My goodness, what a choir. Wow, that's good singing. Good singing. So just keep on what you're doing. I could not recommend anything to you that you're not already doing. Just keep up what you're doing for the glory of God. I'm glad the Lord found some men. And I'm not going to go into all that tonight and make it a long, drawn-out message here. But Abraham stood in the gap for God, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Remember when him and Lot was traveling together? And there came a division among their herdsmen. And Abraham said, Lot, we're going to have to go different directions. So you choose whichever way you want to go, and I'll go the other way. And Lot said, I'll go down toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Grass looks green, water's plentiful down that way. And Uncle Abraham said, well, I'll just go up on the mountain. Going up on the mountain closer to God, getting closer to the Lord. Lot's going down the mountain, going down in the valley, getting away from God. One day the Lord said, Abraham, I'm going to have to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, Lord, you won't destroy it for the sake of the righteous, will you? This is the only time I've ever read where anybody bargained with God like that. And he said, if there's 50 righteous down there, will you spare the city? I think, begin with, Abraham thought Lot, his family, has influenced some others, and there's at least 50 people down there. But then his faith began to weaken. He said, Lord, what about if there's 45? Yeah, I'll spare them. What if there's 40? Came on down, finally he got to 10. Only 10. He said, Lord, will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there's 10 righteous people down there? He said, yes, if there's 10. But you know, there wasn't even 10. You know the story. How down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot had entangled himself with the Sodomites and became wicked and sinful with them. And the Bible said his righteous soul was vexed from day to day. But Uncle Abraham was on the mountain with God, staying with God, minding the gap that God had given to mind, right all the way up to the very end, while he interceded for Lot, who had backslidden down in the valley. They came in, had to send the angels to lead Lot and his wife and children out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the men of the city said, give us those men that we may know them. And Lot said, you can't have these men. You can have my virgin daughters, but you can't have these men. Can you imagine stooping that low, getting that far away? You can have my virgin daughters, but you can't have these men. And literally, they had to lead them out. But first of all, they tried to tear the door down. Now the Lord smote them with blindness so they wouldn't break in and get to those angels. And on the way, Mrs. Lot could not bear not to look back. She just had to get one more look at that wicked city. And she did, and turned to a pillow of salt. Right there is where the Dead Sea is today. What a wicked city it was. But Uncle Abraham was on the mountain, standing in the gap for God. And there's a lot of others we could mention tonight. We would if we had the time, but we won't, for Brother Kenny's sake. We love you, church. We love you, pastor. Love you, Robbie. Love you, Kippy. God bless you. is our prayers.
Amen.
We need your prayers. God bless you, church. We love you.
Up here this evening and try to share with you that God has laid upon my heart. I appreciate Brother Sherrill. He has been a blessing to me over the years and been a stable in this county for many, many years. And I appreciate the Word of God that he has preached and even the Word of God tonight. And I appreciate these men. I haven't known them but just a couple of years. And I appreciate by their way they handle themselves. That means a lot to me. And I really do appreciate them and love them today. And I'm going to share a portion of scriptures already been alluded to tonight. But what God has laid on my heart this afternoon, I sat down a little while and got by myself and me and God, and this is what he gave me, and I'm just going to share it with you. And I promise you I'm not going to be running and jumping and hollering all over this place today. I'm going to stand right here and be calm, amen. But I do want to share with you what God has laid upon my heart. Acts chapter 6 has already been alluded to you tonight, and I just want to share with you three things out of this scripture that God has showed me this afternoon. And church, you have chosen these men to be your deacons, and you have a great responsibility, and we need to pray for them and pray that God would help them. God would always be with them and give them the right insight in the Word of God and the things that they do, and everything that comes their way, we need to ask God to bless them and help them today. And I want to say this too. You need to pray for their wives. Sometimes we forget about and leave out the wives of the preacher men and the deacons. And I'll tell you something. The wives is most important. And I want you to continue to pray for them. Pray that God will just help them and be with them, and God would use them today. Ladies, you're going to hear some things about your husband that you will not like. I guarantee you that. You're going to hear that. But listen, you're God's youngin'. You've got to act like that, amen? You just got to have grace of God in your heart and your life. And I know you like to pick up a stick, amen? I've been the same position. But you've got to realize that the grace of God is in your heart and in your life. And just bow your head in prayer. Say, God, you help this individual, and just keep going on for the glory of God. God's good, he's great, and he'll do what needs to be done in our heart and our life. In those days, verse 1, with a number of the disciples multiplied, there arose a murmur among the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily administration. First of all, the Grecians here, this just denotes that this person was a Jew by birth. But yet they spoke the Greek language. And because of that, there had come a division there among them. They were murmuring, my friend, among themselves, because some of their folks was left out on the daily administration that God wanted them to have. And so the Bible said they got together. In verse number 2, when the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, "Is it not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables?" That's why we have deacons in our churches over our land today. That with the man of God needs to spend time in the Word of God. The man of God needs to pray and ask God to give him the very message for that hour. And that has always been real in my life. I want to pray and ask God to give me what I need to share, my friend, every time I stand and try to preach the Word of God. And that man that we've got, Brother Mark, he is our pastor. And the deacons are to take care of the things around, my friend, the church today. The Bible said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business." The first thing I want to share with you today is, you know, that's a good problem to have. My friend, the Bible said in verse number 1, there come a murmuring among the people because of the daily administration that the folks was lacking.
And my friend, you might say, well, preacher, you crazy. That why should that be a good problem to have? You know why that's a good problem that we need today? It's because we know somebody's getting saved by God's grace. My friend, the church was a growing. God was a blessing. And people were getting saved. And I mean, the house was full. And the man of God standing up there preaching his heart out. My friend, the whole place was growing. And then there come a rising up. Say, listen, we need somebody to come in and help with these daily administration to these folks out here. My friend, that need our help today. Deacons, that's one of your responsibilities. Take care of these folks, the widows that are widows indeed. My friend out there that needs some help, that's one of your responsibilities to get out there and do that. My friend, to share with them the love of God. And if that arises in their life, take care of it. Amen. Listen, a lot of times we don't need to bring things like that to our pastor. I know Brother Mark wants to be informed. I wanted to be informed when I was pastoring. But my friend, it's the deacon's responsibility to take care of those things. And if you can take care of it and just don't share it with a pastor, man, that'd be great if that's the way that you'd like to be done. And that's what God expects us to do, because the man of God's praying for a message, and the man of God has wanted to do what God wants him to do. And my friend, he has to have time and opportunity to get on his knees and pray to God and talk to God about things that's going on, and ask God to help him in that, that he needs to stand and preach the word of God. And so, deacons, listen, let's do your job, amen. Do what God has called you to do, and take care of the flock of God. My friend, watch out for them and pray for them and help them in every situation that comes up, my friend, in their heart and their life. And listen to me, church, if you've got a problem, my friend, and whenever this is done and over, our pastor's already made the statement that that we're all going to have a family deacon. And my friend, if you've got a problem, don't run to the pastor. Don't run to the pastor's wife. You go to your family deacon and say, listen, I've got a little problem that I need to talk to you about. My friend, you talk it over with your family deacon. And you know, these men may get together and just work that out, and the pastor don't have to worry about it. Amen. My friend, there's too much on a pastor now. I'll tell you today, we're living a day today that a pastor has to come in and just give us a message that just blows us away. My friend, I want to tell you something. The greatest message that I can ever preach in my life is John 3:16. My friend, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Brother, I want to see folks saved by God's grace. This other stuff, I just soon to stay out of it, brother. Amen. But sometimes you got to get in it and you got to stand. Amen. I realize that. But listen to me. It's a good thing. My friend, it's a good problem to have when you got to get more deacons to take care, my friend, of things around the house of God. Because you know somebody's being saved by the grace of God. My friend, listen. And the Bible said there in verse number 2 again, the 12 were called and the multitude of disciples unto them and said, is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that they may appoint over this business. I want to tell you something, deacons. That's your business. Right there. That's your business. My friend, that's what you need to do. That's what you're supposed to do, my friend, to take care of those in the house of God. My friend, this is your business to take care, my friend, of things in the church today. And youngs, we need to live up to that. Listen, I've been a deacon in this church years ago. I know what it is. And my friend, I had deacons under my ministry. And my friend, sometimes we fail, my friend, as a deacon to do what deacon has to and needs to do today. My friend, that's your business. That's why you're here, to help folk. If somebody needs something, you ought to be Johnny on the spot. Say, yeah, I can help you. I'll take care of this. I'm praying for you. Listen, not all the times the things in a church is physical. My friend, sometimes it's spiritual. the pastor may be busy doing a revival or something, and my friend, you have somebody you need to get sit down with, my friend, and talk to. And let me throw this in, Pastor, if it's all right. Youngs, one thing that I've stood by all of my ministry, if I talk to a lady, my wife is with me. My friend, if I do not talk to a lady by herself, no matter where it's at, my friend, I do not do that. Men, you listen to me. Deacons, you listen to me. If somebody comes to you, a lady comes to you and wants to talk to you about something, you make sure that you get your wife or somebody that is trustworthy that could be in the same meeting that you're in. My friend, it's sad that we've got to do it like that today, but that's just the way it is. That's your business, my friend. My friend, the Bible said to take care of that business. That's your business, and you need to take care of your business. Amen. Do what God would want you to do. Listen, we find the Bible said there in verse number 6, whom yet they set before the apostles, and went they and prayed and laid hands on them, and the Lord God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. My friend, listen, not only this, that's a good problem to have. My friend, that's your business, deacons, amen, to do that. But my friend, there's many are saved when this is done. My friend, I want to tell you something. A preacher is called of God. He wants to preach, amen. Let the preacher preach, amen, and let him do what God wants him to do, amen, in preaching and sharing the word of God. So easy, my friend, sometimes we can't see the apple because we're looking at the tree. Amen? My friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight, young ones. It is a great blessing and a great calling to be called, my friend, into a church to be a deacon. And, my friend, do what God wants you to do today. Young ones, the reason why that happens is God's blessing and God's a saving. And, my friend, that's your business today. Your business is not, my friend, with him. Your business, my friend, is out here in the church. That's your business. My friend, the business of the pastor is right here behind this book board. My friend, that's his business. You take care of your business. Let him take care of his business. And God will take care of his business. Amen. My friend, folks will be saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's simple, plain. I'm a simple man. Easy. A simple man with a simple message. My friend, listen. If you do what God called you to do and let the preacher alone, let him preach the word of God, there's folks going to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Church, I love you tonight. You pray for these men, pray for these men's wives, the deacons that you've got now, these new ones that's coming in. You pray for them, and you pray that God will bless them and help them today. You know, the devil out there, he'll whisper in a deacon's wife's ear or a pastor's wife's ear because they're afraid to go to the deacon and face him face to face. They're afraid to go to the pastor and face him face to face, so they go in the in route. I want to tell you something, ladies. Just don't listen to it. Amen. Just lay her down. Say, I'm praying for you. And if you have to, get on your knees right then and just say, God, you help this person. You help this person today. Youngins, your business, deacons, your business is to take care of the church. Amen. Watch over the church. Help them. So the man of God can stand and preach the word of God. That's a good problem to have. Amen. God bless you, Pastor.